Well, we're talking about intercession, and I wanted to just share with you this glorious thought: my God will hear me. Each one of us can say that. Let's begin with Isaiah 30, verses 18 and 19. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. He's waiting for repentance. He's not impatient, you see. Waiting for repentance, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted. He's not exalted. He is, but it is not the exaltation of his choice to see the sinner sent to hell. He will be gracious, and therefore will he be exalted, you see. He's exalted in his grace, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. These verses start Isaiah's section in verses 18 to 33 concerning God's future blessings. And the passage has two parts. Our text falls in the first part, verses 18 to 26. It predicts Israel will cry out to God while he's chastening them, and that God will hear and answer their cry. He will deliver them from their oppressors, purge them from their sins, pour out unparalleled material blessings. And when will this be? Well, it's looking forward to the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus Christ returns in glory and in wrath on evil. So preaching to them when they were being chastised in the Babylonian captivity, but pointing out that the time is coming when they will return to him. Let's look at some Old Testament examples of God hearing prayer. Genesis 35:3, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Here's the testimony. He answered my prayer. Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. This is a declaration of people who know. Psalm 17:6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Psalm 99:8, thou answerest them, O Lord our God. To answer means something was asked, you see, something was prayed. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions. Micah 7:7, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. I took that for the title. Let's look then at the New Testament teaching concerning prayer. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in, or concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, something that would be proper, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The hearing here is not just noticing that you said it. God knows all of that. This is hearing in the sense of giving you a hearing, of giving you an audience, of allowing your words to stand. So I want you to think about this. The power of prayer rests not in your talking, in your meditation, in your, emotional state. It rests in connecting with the God who hears us. You are actually talking to God. I've told before how we're going off to extension, which was our term for going out and doing some ministry while we were in college. And I was in the back of a station wagon. And it was evening as we were coming back. And I was praying, and I looked up into the starry sky. We were in a country area between cities, and the stars were brilliant. And I had that sense that when I spoke to God, the very God of omniscience turned and looked at me. I almost could see, it's like the stars were dots on his being, and it's like they turned and this gigantic face would look at me. It's a scary feeling, but an amazing thought that the God of the universe took note of my speech. When you say in faith, really believing it, my God will hear me, then nothing will keep you from prayer. What would keep you from prayer? If you really believed the God of the universe was listening to you, you know that what you cannot do on earth, God can do from heaven. We're limited, he's unlimited. So, let me share with you six things. Six being the number of man. Man created on the sixth day. The phrase, my God will hear me. What a blessed certainty. It's a fact. The testimony through the ages is that God has heard and answered prayer. So, confess to him how little you have believed and counted on this truth. Tell him that you need to be a person of prayer. See? It's a certainty. God, my God, will hear me. Secondly, my God will hear me. What a wondrous grace. The God of the universe doesn't need to hear us. He doesn't say, well, what's your opinion? You know? Psalm 91, well, God sits in transcendent majesty and incomprehensible glory and yet listens to us. And here's the testimony, Psalm 91, 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Direct statement of God. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him, I will honor him. Isaiah 65, 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. That's that odd thing about time and God, that he can see ahead what we're going to ask, what we need, begins to answer it, because sometimes the answer to the prayer comes almost immediately upon the prayer, and it would take some preparation to get that done. He worked ahead on this thing. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty or hidden things which thou knowest not. We couldn't have known these things. The third is, my God will hear me. What a deep mystery. You say, why is it a mystery? Well, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Notice this, according to what? According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not your counsel and my counsel put together. And he says, well, let's split the difference. He works it all according to his own counsel, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted or hoped in Christ. Our pastor Porter was explaining this, and here is the very definition of who the us is all through chapter 1. Who is the us that was predestinated? Who is the us that was chosen? Verse 12, those of us who first trusted. This is that predestinated new covenant that God actually put into place before he created man, set in place before man, for those who would trust him. So you say, why is this a mystery then? If God has chosen to give believers his inheritance before he created man and works all things after his own counsel, how can prayer make any difference? Sounds like it's all set. It's unmovable. But it is not. See? Since God's will is unalterable, why pray? Well, let me share with you this great truth, because I don't really know the answer to that. But here's this truth. While God's purposes are unknown, his promises are clear. What promise are we talking about here? He commanded us to pray, and he promised to answer. So you say, well, I don't see how those two things can... You don't have to. You're just a child, and he's God. But he'll work it out, you see. While God's purposes are unknown, his promises are clear. We'll just take him at his word. We don't have to figure it out. A fourth thought is this: my God will hear me. What a solemn responsibility. My friend, think of this. Here is the end of complaining. Just zip it up. Do you experience uncertainty, feebleness, failure in your life and work? Bathe them in prayer. The procedure of prayer, you're going through, your heart going through prayer, purifies your motives. All is well. Our work is to depend upon and call upon God. Not make it work, but depend on him and call on him. My God will hear me. The fifth one is this: my God will hear. What a blessed promise. What a blessed promise. You know, my personal failure always comes from lack of prayer. I want you to think of the potential for you personally and for Open Door Baptist Church if you and I would faithfully take these matters to God in prayer. If we would turn it over to him, because my God will hear me. What will God accomplish in this hour of darkness, when society reels drunkenly from the cumulative results of sin, staggering down to its own ruin? What might God accomplish if the world saw one lone person who connected with God? They noticed that you connected with God. Suddenly their eyes are open to possibilities they never considered. Their burdened conscience finds an outlet. What a blessed promise. And then finally, number six, my God will hear me. What an example of the need for divine teaching. Luke 11:1. And it came to pass that As Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I don't want to make too much of it, but it sounds to me like he's not saying, teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. You're always going to prayer. You're taking quality time from yourself and from others to pray. we're not seeing it like that. Teach us to pray. Is this a desperate time? Perhaps. But especially in times of desperation, we need a vision of Jesus faithfully praying to his Father. That's where he went. We need to see his dependence on God by prayer. He didn't just say, I know you're paying attention to me, so I don't have to talk. That didn't work for him. He got alone with God. He talked to God. He communicated to God. So let us come to him to learn the one necessary thing. It's more prayer, it's believing prayer, it's intercessory prayer. What would happen if we had faithful prayer warriors taking the various needs represented even in this room? Seeing God's victory, God's challenge.